All right, guys. Welcome back to another episode of DU Locker Room Talks. This week, we're joined by our men's volleyball coach here at Dominican. We have Coach Duggan here. We're going to get to know him as an individual, his background with volleyball, memories that he's had with his players, and also just things that he's learned from his coaching season as well. And then also kind of like getting to know like little tips and tricks as well that maybe he can give to our listeners as well. But like, let's get right into it. So where did you play in college? Like, what was your background with volleyball in the first place?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me. Yeah, I grew up in the Chicago Western suburbs, so not too far from Dominican. I played club volleyball growing up all the way since the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Was fortunate to play on a really, really good high school volleyball team at Wheaton Marble South, where we won two state championships my junior and senior year. Mm-hmm. After that, I went to the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and I played club volleyball there because there's no Division I team. Mm. But we had a really, really solid volleyball team where we lost in the national championship of the club division my junior year. Mm-hmm. And then every other year we were in the we lost in the semifinal rounds.
Wow.
So that was a really, really cool experience. Got to play some really, really solid volleyball during my 4 years. And I was also a student manager with the Division I women's volleyball team at University of Illinois.
Okay.
So I think that was really cool to get to have that like Division I side. While not like fully being the student athlete, but I had that whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned under a lot of great coaches during my time there. I think that really sparked my interest in coaching and seeing how to run a college program and connect with college students during their journey. So yeah, I think that's kind of my background in volleyball. You know, I just love being around the game.
Yeah, I bet. What position did you play?
Yeah, I was a setter.
Okay.
I unfortunately was not the 6'6 guy.
Not everybody's gifted.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah. I was hoping I'd grow. My dad is 6'4.
Oh.
So I was waiting, but it just never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, everything kind of happens for a reason. You're kind of, you know, dealt with the you deal with the cards you're dealt with, and you know, I think it just led me my journey wherever I ended up.
If you play the game right and you have, or you're very good skilled in your sport, I think, you know, whatever. I had Grant here for my first episode, and he was very big on his height.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, I'm not the tallest,
yep,
but whatever, it's okay. But yeah, so kind of getting into Dominican. So how were you introduced to the university with this job that they had offered you?
Yeah, good question. This is over 11 years ago now.
Okay.
Coach Dan Ames at the time, who was the head coach, who I am friends with and grew up around, had asked me to come be his assistant coach. They were starting up a men's volleyball program here at the D3 level. They had previously had men's volleyball here as an NAIA sport.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into club, and then there was a gap between, then there was no program.
Yeah.
So he asked me the first year. I was kind of busy with some other things going on with work, and I was coaching high school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And told him no. He was a really persistent guy. They start the first inaugural season here, and he asked me again. I'm pretty sure I said no again. And I think I somehow walked out of that lunch being convinced to do it. And I was like, I think I just told Dan no, but I think he just made me do it. And
yeah.
So it was a really cool thing where it was something that like I wasn't looking to do.
It kind of
just happened.
Yeah.
And then fast forward 11 years later, and I'm here still.
Yeah.
and the head coach.
Yeah.
So it's been really, really cool for me to have been part of you know, a program that was starting up. And to have come in year two and, you know, essentially the beginning of the program and see it, you know, become, you know, a national, you know, name brand in the Division III level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those funny things that just, like, wasn't intending to do, and then I'm like, I'm still here, so.
Well, you must like it.
Yes,
if you're still here.
Absolutely, yeah.
You must like it. Obviously, you kind of talked a little bit about it, but you have grown the program into what it is now. I mean, mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what that was like, kind of having to pick up where the coach previously had left off. Like, yeah. What did you want going into the seasons with these boys?
Yeah, really good question. You know, I had been an assistant coach here for such a long time with a couple of different head coaches that I'm still friends with to this day. And I think every single one of those coaches left their mark and helped me grow as a coach. Mm-hmm. And I think our goal was always to make sure we were keeping some basic things of this program of high academics, you know, recruiting a competitive individual who wants to us to compete at the national level. And then also just, you know, the biggest, most important thing is just try to recruit a guy that's ultimately a good person. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been able to maintain that, you know, over the course of 12 years of D3 Dominican men's volleyball, which I think has allowed us to be a successful program, you know, that entire time.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, people don't really talk about men's volleyball. When people think of volleyball, they think of women's mm-hmm. volleyball, right? So how, for you, do you think the game has changed in that way? Because it's becoming a bigger thing, not even just at Dominican, but, like, at other NAI schools. Mm-hmm. Across the board, Division 1, 2, 3. I mean, what is that looking like on your
end? Yeah, I think the cool thing with Division 3 for men's volleyball that it makes it very different than a lot of other sports is Division 1 for men's volleyball has a total of 24, if not 25, institutions that carry it, mm-hmm. which is a very, very low number.
Yeah.
I wish there was way more opportunities for guys to play at large, you know, universities for us to grow the game. Where it's helped the Division III side of things is because there's not as many opportunities for guys to play at the highest Division I level, they have over 150, I think we're at 155, 160 Division III institutions that carry men's volleyball. So the, you know, not every institution is obviously, you know, competing for a national title, but I think you're 10, you know, 1 through 20 that are in that conversation mm-hmm. have a lot of guys that could play probably at a Division 1, Division 2 institution, but there's just not the opportunities that exist. So they come to a Division 3 university where they still can compete for a national title. They can get involved in other things outside of volleyball if that's what they're looking for mm-hmm. And still really have a great college experience. So it's cool to see the game growing, and you know, the more that the women's game continues to grow, it allows the men's game to continue to grow. So it's just a great time, I think, in our country to you know, be a part of a great sport.
Yeah. I mean, to kind of just go off of that, I know people that, men that have started playing volleyball, but they were playing, like, football or basketball. Mm-hmm. And then they touch a volleyball and they're like, amazing, these amazing players, and they didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But also, we had mentioned height. That's another big mm-hmm. thing. I think also if you're already an athlete and you kind of have that mindset of I need to get to practice, then I need school, this, they already kind of have that etiquette of what that looks like. But yeah, I mean, I think that all sports, women's, men's, they should all be kind of talked about a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's great what you're doing with your program as well. So let's talk a little bit about nationals. So what does that look like for you guys? I mean, you guys have gotten to compete at that level. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare your men for that? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, really good question. You know, for where we're at as a program, our expectation is that we are going to be competing every year for a conference championship. Mm-hmm. When you win a conference championship, for us, obviously our conference being the NAC, that gives you an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So that obviously gets you in the tournament for sure, that you're not relying to be a, you know, an at-large bid. Yeah. So I think for us, that's something we need to make sure we're always staying at the top of our conference to be in that conversation. Make sure we're recruiting guys every year that are elite athletes, that if we graduate one class, we're kind of still ready to go with the next group.
Yeah.
And then specifically, you know, for the how Division III continues to change this year, there's now going to be 19 total teams in the NCAA tournament. The last couple of years, it's just been 16. Mm-hmm. When I first started here, it was 8. So it's been cool to see that the NCAA tournament is continuing to grow. Mm. So, you know, there's about 12 or 13 automatic bids from conference winners, and then that leaves about six at-large bids. So yeah. We also need to be in a conversation that if we, for some reason, messed up and didn't win our conference, that we have a chance to get in the NCAA tournament at an at-large bid. So we need to have a really strong strength of schedule. We need to pull off some upsets on the road, and just kind of, you know, continue to grow in every match that we play throughout the year.
No, you know, funny story. So kind of going back to my first episode, so I had Jason Coogan in mm-hmm. here as well. And these boys were very much, we're going to Nationals.
It's good.
Because they bet that Jason said he was going to get a tattoo of your face
okay.
on his arm.
Okay.
if that doesn't say a lot.
Right.
He was like, and this is on air. People are listening. Okay. So I am very hopeful yeah. for you guys.
Nice.
I hope that does, I guess that's an incentive
That'd be
for
great,
him.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, yeah. I was like, I think I told the guys last year or something, I'm like, They wanted me to shave my head or something if we won the national title. I'm like, you know what? I'll do whatever specifically. You guys want to get
so
tattoo.
This mindset is throughout the mental.
Like, whenever we win, if we win a national title, then yeah.
Sure,
why not?
Yeah. You know? That's awesome. So do you guys have any, like, anticipated games coming up? I mean, I guess every single game is mm-hmm. anticipated, but one that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, really good question. You know, so we're kind of wrapping up within this next month our fall training season.
Mm-hmm.
So last weekend we got to go up to Carthage College, and we played Carthage and Lewis University, which is a Division II program.
Mm-hmm.
So the NCAA only gives us one competition date in the fall, but it was a really, really good weekend. We got to play some really high competition and really learn a lot about ourselves and what looks good and what we need to continue to grow on
mm-hmm.
And build off of what's not that great right now. So then we're kind of done. We wrap up December 2nd or 3rd, and then the guys get off for a few weeks for Christmas break.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing, you know, when we come back on campus at the start of 2025,
mm-hmm.
we kick off the season right away going out to California. And we
wow.
play three ranked programs that all programs who have either won or competed for national titles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a dogfight right away, and we're going to learn a lot about where we're at. And you know, it's one thing to talk about winning a national title, and then you know, once you're out there and competing against these top teams, are we in that conversation? You know, and if we're not. If we're not in panic mode, but then we got to really learn, wow, we got a lot of things ahead of us if that's what we're trying to go after.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, next fall, that'll be really cool to see. Obviously, I'll get to be working with you. As far as, like, you as a coach, though, I mean, they have learned a lot from you, I'm sure, being a former player, mm-hmm. getting club experience. I mean, also just to kind of talk on club experience,
mm-hmm.
that is... Club, people don't talk about how dedicated that is.
Yeah.
You have practices at least 3 to 4 times a week, and then
yep.
tournaments Saturday, Sunday,
Absolutely.
Usually.
Yeah.
So how have you taken that into your coaching style as well? Kind of like, maybe you didn't play Division I,
mm-hmm.
but for me, that's like basically the same thing. Like
yeah.
the dedication aspect.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I think I understand that our student athletes at for any sport, in any division, it's you're giving up a lot of your college experience in terms of like social aspects of your life. Not
yeah.
to say you can't have a social life,
yeah.
but there's a lot of dedication that comes into, you know, early mornings, lifts, on the road, weekend trips, and they, you know, especially at the Division III level when you're not getting an athletic scholarship,
yeah.
I really tell the guys to make sure that they know why they're doing this. And the biggest why has to be that you're leading with, because I love the game, or I love being around these people, or I'm trying to challenge myself to win, you know, get closer to becoming a champion. If you don't know or don't have that love for the game, especially at the Division III level, then I think you really don't understand that it's going to take a lot of work, you know, on your end to be a dedicated, you know, student athlete.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something we really preach and. You know, we try to run this just like a Division I program. I know what it's like to be around a Division I program and what those, you know, those athletes have to go through. And, you know, we run essentially the same type of, you know, ship, you know, essentially. And, you know, it's a lot that the guys have to give up and a lot of sacrifices, but, you know, when you put in all that work and compete for titles, for me, that's the fun part, you know, when you get to raise those trophies and banners.
Yeah. I mean, and even sometimes, like, when I was playing my sports growing up, they wouldn't even give you a trophy. I think you would just leave there, and then you'd be like, okay, it was enough playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, for these guys, I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. If they didn't really love what they were doing, they wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And a lot of these other athletes, not just your two mm-hmm. that you had, but a lot of them were getting offers from D2 schools mm-hmm. as well. And a lot of what I was getting, like, the feedback was there just wasn't a want from their program. It was just another, you know, person on their bench.
Yes.
So I think that that's something that Dominican does really well is, you know, you try to incorporate each of the players in their own individual light, which is really great.
Absolutely, yeah.
So obviously we've talked about your 11 years. it's a long time.
It is.
So what have you learned from your players as a coach?
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you, like, look back at, wow, I'm going into my 11th year here.
And yeah.
It makes me feel really old. But at the same time, like, I think what's cool is, like, every year feels like you feel young as a coach because, like, there's always a new group.
Yeah.
And even though I'm getting older and these kids are getting younger in the, you know, age relation to me, mm-hmm. It's the same every year. You know, that these, I was once a college student at, you know, myself, and I know things that they're going through. I understand, you know, different aspects of their life of when things are good and when things are bad, and that, you know, the growing up and figuring out what you're going to do in your life. Mm-hmm. I understand all the challenges, and that doesn't change year to year, you know. So I've learned, you know, I learned a lot from our guys, and I'm always learning as a coach. I'm put in different scenarios all the time, and I can already think of some this semester that are challenging.
Yeah.
And I have to learn too. And because I have to deal with, you know, 18 different individuals, and I need to make sure I try to accommodate to 18 different people, and that's tough for me sometimes.
But realistically, it's not just about volleyball.
Yeah.
I'm sure they come to you with, like, all kinds
yeah.
of stuff. So you're like, oh my God, you're playing, like, the coach, therapist,
yeah.
I'm sure, like, halftime dad
yeah.
sometimes. So, I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot being a coach. I feel like it's not talked about enough, too. But yeah, I mean, I guess going into your next season with these boys, so what does recruitment look like
yeah.
on your off season? What, I guess, I don't want to ask what you're looking for,
yeah.
but more just what do you want with this new age? Because I'm sure you're going to be looking at
yeah.
the next.
Yeah, you know, with this job, I think a lot of people don't understand that, like, recruiting never ends.
I know.
And so,
yeah.
you know, you wrap up with one class and you, like,
oh,
celebrate one day, and then you're like, okay, ready to go for the next class.
Yeah.
So right now we're really still focusing on the class of 2025, which is obviously the seniors in high school right now that will
yeah.
be freshmen here next fall
mm-hmm.
of 2025. For us, this is a very important class because we have 8 seniors on the roster right now. So we're going to be graduating a big chunk of our you know, of our 18. So we'll return 10, and for us, we'd like to be around that 18 you know, roster range.
Yeah.
So I got to bring in about 7-8 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 committed right now, which I'm super pumped about. And, you know, a lot of offers that are out there with having had guys from out of states already been on their official visits.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're kind of getting their, you know, decisions from Dominican or any other university they're looking, they're trying to make their final decisions. So, yeah, for men's volleyball specifically, I'd say this November, December is a really, really crucial time to figure out, are we getting the yeses, which is awesome. And if we get the noes, it obviously stinks, but you got to quickly move on
mm-hmm.
and you got to then have that next person, you know, up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have a couple, you know, recruiting trips coming up, going to Indianapolis next weekend, for a big tournament. There's a big tournament here in Chicago in December. There'll be a tournament in Milwaukee in January.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these, you know, I'm still recruiting even when we're in season. It never ends.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good stuff. I love the recruiting part of it.
Do you stay local or do you kind of broaden out sometimes?
Yeah. You know, it's a mixture. You know, lately I've been able to recruit local, locally, we have a lot of really good clubs here in our Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis tournament that's coming up will be a lot of teams from across the country that I get to, you know, I don't have to travel too far to go see them, but they'll be coming in from different states, from California, East Coast, from the South. So it's a really good chance for me to see a lot of out-of-state guys too. So yeah, we're always recruiting the entire country.
That's good. I mean, how do you kind of make yourself stand out, would you say? Because I'm sure there's a lot of different people that if they have like a certain emblem on their shirt, the guys are like, oh, you know. Because, I mean, Dominican is a fairly small school. Like, we're in River Forest, but it's kind of secluded. I like it, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, how do you make yourself stand out when you're having that conversation?
Yeah, I think the one thing that's been very nice for us is because we've had a lot of past success, we've been able to gain more national name recognition.
Yeah.
So when you get more kids from, you know, that are reaching out to you from California who probably don't know where River Forest is on a map, they know that it's, hey, this is a really good Division III program and they're close to Chicago. And so I think that's what really makes us stand out is we have we've had a really successful program, we have strong academics, and we're close to the Chicagoland area, you know, and where you have Chicago in your backyard. So I think those are three of my biggest selling points for this university, where you can kind of really get a guy from out of state that doesn't necessarily know about, you know, your program because it's not a Stanford, Ohio State, UCLA name recognition, if that makes sense.
I mean, to kind of even go off of that, I have friends who were recruited from California that didn't even visit. They were like, it was enough. I talked to them and that was, so, I mean, and that's a whole different program that I'm talking about. So, I mean, obviously it also is telling of who we're getting as coaches here. So, but obviously it's working for you, so I'm very happy about that.
Fingers crossed it keeps working.
But to kind of go off of that coaching aspect, do you look up to anybody as a coach? Like, was there anybody in your life that kind of molded you into the coach that you are, the player you are?
Good question. I guess I have never, like, sat down and thought about that question. It's putting me on the spot. But I think, you know, one thing that pops in my head right away, I was fortunate to have, you know, I was a freshman on the varsity team in high school. So I had the same high school coach for 4 years. I'm still friends with my high school coach to this day. And he's still there. He's wrapping up his career soon.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, I have a really good relationship with him, and we're different people, but I've always admired so much of his passion, his commitment to the game, his competitiveness. And I think his relationships with now alumni, and I think those are a lot of things that have molded me as a, you know, a college coach now. I think I'm similar in a lot of those facets, and I love keeping in touch with our alumni, guys that I've coached that are, you know, now have been out of here for 5-6 years. Got to go to a lot of their weddings, but I think it allows, you know, just that family dynamic of what I'm trying to create here, and I think we've been really successful with. So I think Coach Bill Schreier, my former high school coach, is definitely someone that comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say to athletes? Because a lot of these athletes, they want to do their sport after they're done. So, like, what advice would you give, I guess, in wanting to pursue something like that?
Yeah, in terms of, like, being a professional athlete or coach?
I mean, coach. Yeah. Coach. A lot of them do want to coach. A lot of them do want to play rec, which that's just
right.
Part of it. People just are like, you know what, I'm gonna keep it going into my late 20s. But I mean, like, what advice would you give, I guess, going into that?
You know, it's cool with our staff. Like, right now, you know, two of my assistants are former players. Last year, you know, we had another one that's not on staff anymore, former player in Jack McGuire. And you know, I'm recruiting this past weekend, and I see two former players that are coaching club. So it's really cool to have seen, you know, this tree of, you know, Dominican men's volleyball players who have gone into the coaching world. I just texted with a former player, Danny Shera, who coaches on the women's side for Division I, you know, who's killing it. And we text, and I love that he's involved in coaching. So my advice is always, it's not like you necessarily have to be a club or high school or college coach. But, you know, if if this game has been an important part of your life and you still want to be around it, be around it as long as possible. And for me, like, I don't play as much anymore, but I get my volleyball quote unquote fix from coaching. And, yeah. and because the body's not as forgiving for me anymore.
Gotta yeah. stretch.
Yeah. But yeah. I think it's like I have this just passion for giving back to the game that's been such a big part of my life and where I've met 95% of my friends that have, you know, been lifelong because of the sport of volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's, yeah, if it's a sport that you love being around, whether that's playing rec, coaching, you know, getting your kid, future kid signed up in volleyball, like, I think that it's a great sport to be around.
Yeah, no. And then I'm just curious, did you have another job before coaching?
Yeah, so I also still work in sales.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've always still, you know, I think the nice thing with sales and then as you relate it to recruiting,
mm-hmm.
it's essentially the same thing. Like, my job here, you know, one of my main jobs at the university outside of coaching volleyball is I have to sell a university,
mm-hmm.
right? I need to sell a program and convince kids that why Dominican is the best fit for them out of all the other programs out there. So I think, yeah, recruiting is one of my favorite things about this job. I am very passionate about Dominican, passionate about our men's volleyball program. I'm passionate about our players and what we're trying to do. And I like selling that to, a prospective student athlete. And ultimately, it's up to them to decide if that's the right place for them. And but at least I just got to do my job and present all the facts for them.
That's good that you had a background in that, though.
Yeah.
Because it kind of gives you, like, a leg up in
yeah,
a sense.
Absolutely.
But I guess to kind of just end on this note, what advice would you give your guys on the off season, and advice that you would give them, I guess, bringing into their new upcoming season?
Yeah. So, like I said, be a little bit before was we wrap up our training at the start of December, and then they're gonna have kind of 1 month on their own,
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna talk actually this Friday, we're gonna kind of talk about the do's and don'ts with as it relates to. Our off season for that 1 month of training, what that looks like, that we can't just stop for a month, but it's okay, you know, to slow it down, to give the body the right recovery and
mm-hmm.
what that looks like. You know, they're not here, you know, eating their normal food. So what does that look like for at home with nutrition and make sure you're putting in the right nutrition, you know, nutrients in your body.
Yeah.
So yeah, that we have to have, a lot of focus on recovery, maintaining strength, rest, getting caught up on sleep, you know, and being mentally ready and prepared for handling the season, because it's a grind once we start in January.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all for now. But to kind of just wrap up, thank you for coming on today. It was really great getting to know you. Hopefully the DU community will get to know you as well from listening to this. And good luck in your coaching career, maybe 12, 13.
Yep.
And then also your team as well.
Awesome.
So.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.